I invite you to remain standing for the reading of the gospel this morning. It comes from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain. He sat down and his disciples came to him. He taught them, saying, "Happy are people who are hopeless because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed, because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is already theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of evil against you, all because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. On one of the holy days in the church calendar, on All Saints Sunday, we have gathered to worship Almighty God, who has received friends and family, neighbors and brothers and sisters in Christ into everlasting life. And we give thanks for the life of the departed, those who died this past year and those many years ago. In their own way, each one of them taught us the depth of faith in Christ, how to live with compassion for the downtrodden, with a zeal for justice, and an unrelenting love and joy and hope for the world. Many of you have come to honor someone you love who has died. Your hearts are heavy with the loss of someone dear. Many of us have our own beloved dead to remember this day. People who we'd frankly rather have here in this room with us and not be remembered. We'd rather be standing behind them in the line for communion, greeting them in the passing of the peace, having them circle with us at the end of service, but instead we remember them in the litany of saints. While we can give thanks for the ministry of those who have inherited God's promises, this day brings with it a tremendous amount of grief. Among us, we have lost spouses and parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, and lifelong friends. To the family of each one of those individuals whose name was read, during our time of prayer, I want to continue to offer condolences on behalf of the church. Weeks and months have passed, but surely that loss is still as palpable and intense as the day you lost your loved one. Particular to the families of Diane and Jane and Francis, we share in your loss of these unique women. They were yours before they were part of us here in this church. We miss each one of them in a very unique way. We know that your grief is far greater than what we can imagine. And over these 2 months, in November and December, this season may be a bit more arduous than the summer months. Maybe mom won't be preparing a holiday meal in the kitchen. Maybe dad isn't keeping watch on the festivities from the armchair. Be an extra seat at the dining room table, one less name on the Christmas shopping list. And maybe there will be a discussion among siblings and cousins about who's going to host Thanksgiving lunch or Christmas dinner. Be gentle with yourself in an already overwhelming season. Even folks years removed from the loss of a loved one find a renewed sense of grief this season. Even when the night seems so dark and the road seems so long, you are never alone in your grief. It's God and Jesus Christ who most closely feels and knows your grief. And this church, His church universal, is called to walk alongside you to help bind up the brokenhearted. And a year from now, we will gather here in this very place and do this work of remembering the saints all over again. We will remember the saints and their ministry, giving thanks for the ways they poured themselves into our lives. So we would be amiss not to remember and to celebrate this day. When my wife and I were looking for a home in Kingston Springs, and this was long before I knew I was going to be your pastor, we ended up in a conversation with the next door neighbor to a home that was on our short list of favorites. As we stood on the curb talking to the neighbor, she revealed things that would have not shown up in a real estate listing. It was oh so good to talk to this neighbor who had lived in the area for quite some time. She said, "Did you know that all the vinyl on the back of the home has been replaced in recent years?" We said, "No, no one had chosen to share that with us." She said, "Oh yeah, there was a tornado and straight line winds that came through Kingston Springs. Just took debris and tree limbs and threw them straight through the back of the house." All right, well, good. I'm glad the vinyl had been replaced. That little tidbit of information was stored somewhere in the back of my mind until there was a welcome basket that this church had provided when my family arrived here to serve you. And Jane Hyatt had made a candle like it was this one. She's made many others. And folks began telling me that in addition to this town being mostly underwater in 2010, then the following year, the tornado and winds came and a pressure blast blew out the stained glass windows that are behind you. So Jane took the shattered glass and began making artwork from them, as I was told. This past week, as I sorted through a desk drawer, I came across the handwritten note from her. I wasn't looking for it, but there it was, explaining the story of the candle. And I remembered that in one of the last visits that I had with her, she was always concerned to make sure that the nursery in our children's church area was stocked with paint and with paper and with scissors and pipe cleaners, everything that the kids needed to be creative and to see beauty in a not always beautiful world. Jane and her late husband, Pete, were artists through and through. She saw beauty, she created beauty, and for that we're thankful because it was a sign of the kingdom of God among us. I've been told about Frances Wilson long before I met her. Every single soul that mentioned Frances made a point of drawing attention to her sense of humor. It was almost as if they wanted to warn me about what I was going to see. Everybody knows. Most people know. She had a sense of humor. She had an unusual ability to make folks laugh. The jokes were, many of them, were crude. But she had that ability to create laughter. As I was thinking about that, the ability to laugh in a world that is so serious, a world that is not always full of hope and joy. The ability to cut through that, to laugh, to have joy is so needed. That was Frances through and through for those of you who may have not met her. For those of you that knew her and were so privileged to hear one of her crude jokes, I hope that as you tread down the steps on the way out of church this morning, that maybe you're able to recall one of them and chuckle to yourself saying, "Thank goodness for the ministry of Francis, laughing when others wouldn't." And Diane, I'm especially mindful of Diane this week because it's the start of November and Room in the Inn has begun. This ministry for those who are experiencing homelessness literally saves lives by getting men and women and families off the streets in Middle Tennessee. I was told before I ever met Diane that her sticking point was Room in the Inn. Some church folk have a way about attaching themselves to a particular ministry, and if you're smart, you make sure that that ministry is held up and made faithful and fruitful. When she welcomed me into her home last summer, it didn't take long after the pleasantries for her to cut straight to the point and said, "Pastor, are we hosting Room in the Inn this year?" I said, "Yes, of course." I was so delighted that we were able to provide 5 nights of shelter for individuals in our larger community that needed it. Ever since losing Diane, any time that something related to Room in the Inn comes up, I'm mindful of her ministry and her commitment to justice and outreach work. Is the church doing Room in the Inn this year? Absolutely. Of course we are. Diane showed us what is right in the eyes of God, to create safe spaces for our neighbors who are most vulnerable. The saints who now sit at the feet of their teacher and Lord Jesus the Christ has shown us what the Lord requires. Their lives, their ministry, and their love have helped us see the reign of God in the world. And I wish that we had so much more time to tell stories. I've only named those three women who were so active in the life of the church here, but we named so many more. Members of your families. When you're at lunch, at the dinner table, or in the car, cultivate memories of those who have gone before you in faith, those who have been faithful in showing what the love of God and neighbor looks like. Those memories will keep the church rooted in a rich history. Those memories will inspire. They'll show us how to emulate the highest ideals of the Christian life. That's why this morning's gospel reading is from the Sermon on the Mount. In particular, the section that opens the extended teaching session called the Beatitudes. It's a depiction of the way God shows favor in the world, and it runs really counter to all the prevailing values around us. Happy are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. On such a day, this seems ludicrous. The palpable sense of grief is far from what we associate with happiness. With blessedness. Happy are the meek, the mild, the unimposing. The earth will be theirs. That cuts against the grain of every system of power. The meek are often trampled underfoot. They have no place at the bargaining table. It's the way it usually is. But in God's reign, vulnerability to grieve or a thirst for righteousness and justice, those things are to be emulated. There's a place in God's reign for those who are often left out. Forgotten at every other table, the brokenhearted, the unendingly compassionate widow, the hourly wage worker who knows the very heart of God, the neighbor who builds bridges among diverse neighbors so that peace might reign. All of these folks are the living faces of the Beatitudes. They're promised a blessing in God's reign. Following Jesus Christ orients us to the ways of God in the world. And it takes practice. And it takes struggle to follow Jesus into places and relationships that are difficult, but such is the life of faith. Perhaps it's a major life transition, the loss of a relationship, a major job change, or a transition to an unwanted season of life. It's those points, those intersection points where our faith can be the sustaining force in life. It's in those experiences of dislocation, unsettledness, that we revisit the Beatitudes, see if we find ourselves in them again. There are, as Joan mentioned, there are saints in glory and there are saints living among us. Jack Arnold, that was one amazing shout out from your daughter.
She's the biggest fan.
There are living saints among us who do ordinary and sometimes extraordinary acts of compassion and justice-seeking and peacemaking. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness. Where do we go from here? On this holy day, remembering all those that we have lost, where do we go, knowing that the highest calling is for God to pronounce a blessing in our life? We do as the saints have done before us. We live faithfully and fruitfully wherever we're planted. We've been shown what the kingdom looks like, instructed on how to embody it in the daily things. One way to get at the Beatitudes and the ways in which we might leave this place carrying them with us is by working them backwards. The way to heaven is through poverty. The way to consolation is through genuine sorrow. The way to earthly possessions is a gentle spirit that is neither stingy nor possessive. The way to satisfaction is through a hungering and thirsting for justice. The way to mercy is through mercy. The way to God is through an unobstructed heart. The way to a full relationship with God is through the active practice of peace. The way to God's realm is through the struggle for right that leads us through conflict and pain. I hope that on this All Saints Day, that as you ponder your own life of faith and your heart has been stirred to remember those who have gone before you, I hope that you're able to reach into your heart and into your mind to remember the faces and the names of those who have crossed paths with you, enriched your life in faith. And so as I do each All Saints Sunday, I invite you to close your eyes if you want, to be still in your mind and your heart, and to simply remember. For as you remember, you will see the faces of the saints and be given opportunity to emulate what they have modeled for us by the grace of God. Who is it that gave you the first glimpse of God's pronouncement of blessedness of all creation? Who met you at the door the first time you walked into a community of faith looking for a love larger than yourself? Who has taught you the ways of God? Who cooked, washed dishes, and did laundry with such love for you that it was as if God was doing it? Which saints among you have shown you how to live in the fullness of God and neighbor? Who has a healing touch? Who do you admire for their unwavering sense of God's justice, yearning for the healing of the least, the last, and the lost? Go and do likewise.